Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
La 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 la.
914. Steve Cochran Show continues. Look, we bring people in here who want to help you. It's not about them. It's about you. Colin Egglesfield is here. Colin's had a very busy career as an actor. His new book is Life Lessons from Hollywood and Beyond, The Agile Artist. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We were just talking about you on All My Children.
Yes.
All My Children featured a woman named Erica Kane, very famous. Would you say the most famous soap opera actress of all time?
The queen of daytime television.
Got to be, right?
For sure.
How many times was she married?
11.
11 times?
Yeah, only 11.
Just 11?
Yeah. But she was married to the same person like three or four different times, right?
That's a good question.
Guys.
I don't know.
But
I
they
was
still
the
count.
Of her first marriage, though.
Okay, so how would you describe your character like you described it off the air?
The transplanted, unaborted fetus of Erica Kane, which happens all the time.
So there was a transplant of you as a fetus that she would eventually give birth to?
Yeah, so she got pregnant back in the 70s, and supposedly the doctor who did the abortion was in love with her. So instead of doing the abortion, he stole the fetus, me, out of her, implanted it into his wife. So I was born of the doctor and his wife, thinking they were my real parents, but biologically, Erica's my real mom.
And at some point, you find that out.
Yeah, and then I kind of...
And hilarity ensues.
The rails and kidnap JR's wife, and I steal my dad's private jet, crash land on a deserted island, and then became a doctor.
Frankly, just another day
on
All My Children. All right, so what are you trying to do with Agile Artist?
So I wrote this book essentially because... Over the past 20 years, I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, hey, you know, you've made it in Hollywood. How did you do it? You've overcome cancer. What was that experience like?
I would guess you get the Hollywood question every day.
Pretty much.
Right.
And I was living across the street from the World Trade Center when all that happened.
Is that right?
And yeah, my apartment was literally across the street. So when the first planes hit, I went to my window, saw everything that was going on. And what really got me was seeing the people trapped up in the towers above the flames. And I'd been thinking about pursuing, you know, a career as possibly an actor, but life got really real for me in that moment, in the sense that, you know,
perspective.
Life is short. Perspective. It's all perspective.
They just went to work that day.
Pretty much.
That's all they
did. So in my book, Agile Artist, I talk about how to reframe certain experiences in a context that are empowering, because there's a lot of experiences that we go through in our life that are disempowering. So for me, it was all about, okay, life is short. What do I really want to do in life? If I really want to be an actor, if something I really care about, and much like anyone else, if you care about something enough, then you shouldn't let any other influences stop you from pursuing whatever it is that you really care
about. Yeah, the Agile Artist is not just for actors. The Agile Artist is for anybody.
Exactly. So what I've learned in my acting classes, pretty much I think everyone could benefit from. So when I was going through my cancer experience, when I was, you know, out in Hollywood facing rejection on a daily basis, there's a lot of really great strategies and techniques we learn as actors to create empowering context. Because when we go into an audition, we literally have to create our own reality in that room. So when I was facing my cancer experience, I realized, okay, you know what? I can take these principles and turn them into an empowering context to help me get through it.
You talk about in the book, staring death in the face, and a man named Dr. Berman. Tell me about Dr. Berman.
So he was my cancer doctor. And
what type of cancer are we talking about?
Testicular cancer.
And self-exam found this?
Yes. And, you know...
The reason I bring this up is because it's vitally important for people. I mean, hopefully you're the one that notices this thing, because when you notice something that's abnormal, you got to get it checked.
Right. But much like most men out there, I was stubborn about it. I was like, this will go away. And I waited almost too long, because by the time I went and saw Dr. Berman, it was advanced stage. And what I'm trying to do with Agile Artists is pretty much say, you know what? It's okay as men to talk about this stuff. I mean, as a man being working on All My Children at the time, I'd only been on All My Children for 6 months when I was diagnosed with this, and I didn't want to tell anyone, because, you know, as men, we we're protective about our, you know,
our special spots.
Exactly.
But the thing is, there's no weakness in testicular cancer. You didn't ask for it. It's not like you went out and did something that gave it to you.
Well, there's no weakness in any cancer. And I think
the strength is admitting you need help.
Exactly. And that's the one thing I talk about in Agilartis, that when I decided to finally open up and be vulnerable and share it, it turned into an incredibly empowering experience because my community showed up to support me and get me through it all.
What life are you on? Cancer? 9/11? Are you on 3? Or the others you haven't told me about?
I would say probably the 8th one. I mean,
You've had an interesting life.
Yeah.
Some of those things you can't even tell me. Stick around. We'll do more in just a second. But Agilartist out and available everywhere.
On Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, and I always say this, Dave, I don't know if you're aware, but, you know, get 2 copies, you're careless, you'll lose one, maybe download a 3rd so you got a backup.
That's an even better idea.
We were just talking off the air, you know, I don't buy books. I promote books. I bought 2 of these myself just now.
Well, you want to get this one.
Yeah.
You should see the reviews on Amazon.
They're very good.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, I bought 2 of these, and I just gave Colin $20. I said, go out and get a book for yourself.
Well, I paid you to say that.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
You already know that exceptions.
By the way, Mary, Colin Egglesfield is here, and if I look in the producer's booth now, there's people from the office who don't even know what time I'm on. They happen to be women who are coming in to meet Colin.
Yeah. And take his picture, of course.
Hey, hi. Did you guys know Colin was on?
No, they're not really listening to the show. They're just kind of
they're just waiting for Colin to come out so they can talk to him.
Yep.
Hey, Super Joe, would you explain to them that this show's on every morning between 6 and 10?
Yeah, once I start talking, this is like a hum sound.
Yeah, and they were in the other day because the dog was in there, remember?
Yeah, this is what I'm losing out to. Colin Egglesfield and a really cute dog that came in. So thanks, pal.
Bring a baby and you'll be good.
The Steve Cochran Show.
9:26, live on CLTV and 720 WGN and WGNradio.com and streaming on WGNradio.com. You can't escape us. The book's called The Agilartist, Colin Egglesfield. How long have you been home, by the way? When did you come home to Chicago?
Came back last year. I was in L.A. for the past 10 years and grew up in the south side, south suburbs of Chicago, Crete.
Mm-hmm.
Went to high school in Chicago Heights, Marian Catholic. And, just felt like I needed to just kind of get back here, get back to my roots.
Living in the city now?
Yeah, I live in West Loop.
Okay, if you want to give us the address, the women from the office would like it personally so they can come by and say hi.
Yeah, maybe off air.
Yeah, right? Agilartist. This is a book about agility in your own life, about being able to recover from those things that knock you down, and about knowing how to react to things
that
surprise you from the left and the right.
Yeah.
Not just about show business.
Not just show business, but there's a lot of things that I've learned from working in show business that I felt like a lot of people could benefit from, and just having gone through my whole cancer experience as well. I do a lot of work with St. Jude's Charity and St. Jude Hospital, and meeting a lot of the kids that are going through the same experience that I went through. It just felt like, you know, knowing what that experience is like and being able to be there for them and be that kind of role model, it just felt like there's a lot of things that that I wanted to share with people to help them get through similar experiences.
Well, you look great. And
thank
I'm sorry,
you.
You know,
thank
I don't
you.
Say that to grown men that often, but you look great. And I assume you're on the right side of cancer now?
Yeah. Yep. So after 5 years, you're considered cancer-free. It was a scary 3 years, though, of that, you know, the fear of the unknown.
Are you past 5 now?
Past 5. So okay. This was 13 years ago. And just, you know, when you get that initial diagnosis, you know, the fear of the unknown, your brain just goes to the worst case scenario. And so that's what I talk about in Agilartist, about how creating certainty and essentially creating your own context of, okay, yes, I have this is the diagnosis, but
right.
That doesn't have to define who I am or how the outcome is going to be.
How do you, I have had, you know, my own near-death experiences off and on, you know, show business, but a thing called a pulmonary embolism.
Oh,
and
wow.
It turns out I have a hereditary blood thing that I didn't know I had until I found that out. But, you know,
not to make light of this, but I did save Erica Kane's life.
She had a PE?
With a pocket knife and a straw, because she had a PE.
Yeah. You should have been around, dude. I could have used you.
I could have saved
you. But the point being, there were times where I struggled with waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I think when you have that near-death thing, no matter how close to it you actually get, every little tweak that you feel or whatever, you go, well, this is it. Did you go through that?
Yeah, because after my first diagnosis, went through the radiation, surgery, and then every 3 months was going for my checkup and kind of felt like, all right, I'm on the road to recovery. A year later, get diagnosed again. So then it's like, okay, what's going on here?
Sure.
So then after that, I was going up to Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York City every month for my checkup. And it was like, is this the day that they're going to find something? And like you just said, you wake up and you got that ache in your side and you're like, is this a tumor? Or, you know, you get a headache and you're like, is this...
Things you never thought about.
Yeah.
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 And so what do you recommend for people who have gone through, not necessarily the same thing you've gone through or I've gone through, who have that other shoe's going to drop? My whole thing was you can't live your life that way.
Exactly. So you can focus either on the negative or you can focus on the positive. And our brains are incredibly powerful one way or the other.
Right.
So, it's easy to focus on the negative because those thoughts just come into your head inevitably.
So they'll live there if you let them.
Yeah, exactly. And so for me, it was all about every day waking up in the morning and creating that empowering context. Okay, you know what? What can I focus on today to just get me through and allow me to be able to do everything possible to stay healthy, stay mentally empowered? And so for me, it was going to work out, focusing on continuing going to all my children, learning my lines, focusing on just doing things that made me feel good about where I was at. And then journaling as well helped a lot in terms of writing down what my reality was. And every month when I was going for my checkups, instead of in my calendar writing cancer checkup, I wrote good health appointment.
Yeah.
So whenever I looked at it, I was like, all right, this is it. I'm going there to confirm my good health.
Yeah.
So just training my brain to...
That's how you frame things.
Focus on the positive.
We talked off the air about the actor's experience, and I think you said 2,000 auditions and 40 credits. What's that workout percentage was?
2% success rate.
And I would say that's standard for people who have, quote, made it, isn't
it? Yeah. And that was something that was perspective changing for me, because one of my acting teachers is Nicole Kidman's personal acting coach.
Okay.
So she goes to set with Nicole and she'll describe like how Nicole was going through working with Sean Penn, and Sean Penn is a very
difficult?
Not difficult. He's just kind of, he's in the moment. He'll make all these crazy noises, and he's just kind of like
Does
these weird things to get himself in the moment.
Yeah, there's nothing quite as funny, having been on a couple of sets, you can certainly talk more about this, but there's nothing quite like what actors do before the director yells action.
It's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, there's no standard.
It's like you look over and sometimes you think you're in an insane
asylum. See Robert
asylum.
De Niro barking, and suddenly scene.
Yeah, but hearing about Nicole Kidman being nervous while working with like Sean Penn and then talking about how self-critical she was, it made me realize that, you know what, acting is, I think, why people enjoy it so much. It's like sports. You can be good at it, but you may have that perfect shot in golf, but that's what you're striving for all the time.
And the challenge is still there tomorrow.
The challenge is still there. Yeah.
I assume you're glad to be back in town. What are you focused on now?
So I'm also doing some real estate here in Chicago. I've been rehabbing houses in between my acting jobs, and mainly been doing it in the south side of Chicago. And what's great about that is I work with some contractors who have hired some former gang members and provided some employment opportunities down there. And with my book, Agile Artists, 10% of the proceeds are going towards developing a community center in Roseland.
Good for you.
There's
man.
A group called
good
Project Osmosis.
And that's great.
They essentially expose kids in the inner city to careers in art and design. So with a lot of the schools, budgets being cut for athletics and art and music.
Doing all these good things. Is this cutting into acting a little bit?
No, not at all. I mean,
you're able to do both.
It enhances it, because I think when one of the reasons why I left Los Angeles is because I would be sitting in my place and waiting for that next audition and waiting for that phone to ring, and then it's like watching a tea kettle boil.
So
when you're out doing different things and you focus on other things other than what you're hoping will happen, then inevitably that other stuff does.
What's the evolution of life too, right? You all get to a point where if you've had some success and you sound like the same way, you feel like you need to pay it forward a little bit. And paying it forward is doing something like you're doing, because it's not just about making you feel good, it's actually helping people.
Yep. Exactly.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, it's all
a good
about
story.
Creating fulfillment in your life.
I have to ask one more piece of perspective before we run out of time. And again, the book is Agile Artist: Life Lessons from Hollywood and Beyond. Colin Egglesfield The fact that you lived across the street on 9/11, we all know where we were on 9/11, mm-hmm. but you lived across the street, you're home alone, mm-hmm. you're minding your own business, it's a Tuesday morning, and the world changes, like yeah. right in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
But you sounded like, in the initial explanation of this, you had perspective of some of these people who had to make a choice of dying on the upper floors of the World Trade Center or jumping.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you get beyond that. What do you do with that?
I mean, to be honest with you, I was in shock for most of the few weeks after that. And it wasn't until I came back here to Chicago a few weeks after that I truly started to be able to process it. When I went to that window that morning and I saw people up there, it was almost like it didn't register. And as soon as I saw people starting to jump, then it got real. And then I grabbed my video camera and I was starting to videotape all this experience. And a friend of mine called and I'm on the phone with her, had the video camera going. And then the second plane comes in. And that's when I was like, okay, this something's
this
not
isn't
right.
an accident.
So I ran downstairs and standing outside of my building watching. I mean, it was just incredible. I mean, I saw two people holding hands jumping out
right.
of the windows. And at a certain point, it just got to a point where I couldn't watch it anymore.
Sure.
And I started walking up the street, went into a deli to get some water. And then it was like an earthquake. The ground started shaking. The lights went out. I ran outside. People were running and screaming. And it was 2 weeks later before I could get back to my apartment. Went in there. It looked like a bomb had blown up in my apartment. There was glass and debris and metal beams and all these financial statements. And I had 10 minutes to grab whatever I could put into a suitcase and leave. And my parents were like, come back to Chicago. And I was like, no, I don't want to leave. This is my city. But once I did, it was once I went through the Holland Tunnel and was driving towards the New Jersey to Newark Airport.
Sure.
That's when the emotion started to hit me. I looked across the Hudson River, saw the smoke still coming out of the...
Right, and the World Trade Center is gone. And if you've ever gone through those tunnels, Lincoln or Holland Tunnel, you know, that defines what New York
exactly.
looked like.
Exactly. And I went to Newark, checked in, and literally sat down in a little restaurant, and I started to...
Cried your eyes out.
Cried my eyes out.
Sure.
And it was like my body had, I realized, held in all these emotions until now it felt like I was in a safe place to be able to let it out. And then I just, even, you know, weeks after that, trying to deal with processing that, it was just...
Well, and I say it, too, because I think it ties into the theme of the book, too, because going through that, all the other yeah. things in your life, but going through that, that's another choice you have to make. What's my agility here? How am I going to be agile about this?
Right, and deciding my home is gone.
Right.
And I just focused on, like, okay, what matters to me in my life right now? I knew that acting was something that I was passionate about, but up until that point, I wasn't sure if going out to Hollywood was something I could be successful with. I'd only had two small credits to my name, and once I saw that experience, looking up at those towers, if those people trapped up in those towers, I guarantee you, if they had a second chance at life, they would have done anything.
Right.
And it made me realize that, you know what, life is short. If you really care about something and you want to do it, why would you let anyone or anything stop you from going forward?
And don't waste a day.
Don't waste a day.
Right. So it's a great message, it really is.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. I'm glad you're back in town.
I'm loving being back.
Do you get tired of people asking if you're me when you're walking down the street?
Yeah,
you and I get confused a lot.
It's really annoying.
Yeah, yeah. I understand completely. You see that, don't you? The resemblance?
Well, no, because I kind of...
It's probably the angle.
I see you more as another actor that we...
Clooney?
Well, yeah. Let's go with that.
Because I get Denzel and Clooney.
Well, I was thinking Denzel.
Brad Pitt, Pitt. Nah,
yeah.
Please. Great to see you, man.
Thank you.
And the book is called... Agile Artist, Go Get Yours. Thanks for being here, and let's do this again.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All
right. Appreciate it.